the goal of our mission. And so Ethnos 360 puts together these teams of missionaries that go and live in these unreached areas, groups of people that their language is only oral. And so they learn the language and the culture so that they can translate the scriptures in a way that really speaks to their heart. And then with the translation language, they begin to translate the Bible as well and teach the people to read and write. And then they teach from the beginning of creation all the way through the life of Christ. And from the believers that come from that, that's where the church is started. And they disciple these young believers and leaders of these young churches. And the goal is for them, the national people, to take over this work from the missionary. And in many of the countries, that this is exactly what's happening. And they've taken the gospel to their neighboring language groups and villages. And it's just exciting to see how God uses that. And in four of the countries that Ethnos serves in, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Brazil, we're able to have a flight program that helps reach these very hard-to-reach areas way up in the mountains, turning weeks of travel into just minutes or an hour or two, and saving our missionaries a lot of time and a lot of risk to their health making these trips. And we're able to allow them to stay in the village working more on these translations, and we can supply them with the food and supplies that they need, transportation in and out, as well as the national believers as well. And so it's a real blessing to be able to help speed the gospel in the way we can with the aircraft. So going back a little bit, Chris and I arrived here in Kentwood in 1992, and I began needed somewhere to finish my flight training, and so we found out about GRISBOOM, Grand Rapids School of Bible and Music, which is now School of Missionary Aviation Technology out in Ionia. And we spent 3 years here finishing up my flight training there, and we came across Kentwood Baptist Church our second Sunday here, and just found a very friendly group. Everybody greeted us and just was really interested in, you know, where we're from and what we're doing, and just really felt Lord saying, yeah, this is the place where we want you to land. And we've made a lot of friends over the years, and we really appreciate your support over the years for us, encouraging us when we're overseas and various things, and we just really appreciate that. We were in Senegal, West Africa. I was flying a twin-engine aircraft there and maintaining it with another pilot family there from 1998 to 2011, so about 13 years altogether. And by about 2009, it got very expensive to operate that aircraft, and so we sold it, and we tried to import a smaller airplane that used a different kind of fuel, the jet fuel, and that didn't work out. Became very expensive even just to import another aircraft. And so as a mission, we saw the Lord wanting to just say, we're going to shut down our flight program there in Senegal. And so at that time, our daughter had a little more time before she graduated high school there from the missionary school. And our mission asked us to stay another year or so to help with some of the things that were going on with the field, with leadership, and with helping to do supplies by road instead of aircraft. And so we stayed on until 2011. And then we came back to the States and took a leave of absence. We saw some things in our kids. Our oldest son was in college, and our daughter was getting ready to go to college, and our youngest son was still a sophomore in high school. And they needed help transitioning to what does it look like to be an American here and to go to college and all that, and all the transitions of life that come with that. And so we took some time out, thought it'd be just a few years, turned out to be about 6 years. And we lived in Central Oregon, and I worked as an aircraft mechanic there to keep my skills up, and Chris worked as a cook in a daycare center, and was just able to put some quality time in with our kids. And so along in about 2016, came empty nesters, which is pretty cool. And so we felt the Lord leading us back into the missionary aviation again. And so we talked to Ethnos 360 Aviation, and they said, yeah, we really could use you. We wanted to go overseas, but they really had a need for aircraft maintenance instruction there in McNeil, Arizona, where we're at. And so we prayed about that and felt God leading us to go to Arizona to be able to train these new guys that are coming through like we were 20-some years ago, and help prepare them to serve on the field. And so that's what we've been up to. And so where is McNeil, Arizona? We get that a lot. And it's down in the southeast corner of Arizona, almost, it's like 20 miles north of Mexico and about that far from New Mexico. So we say it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there pretty good. And so it's our aviation international headquarters is down there. And so we support all of our four overseas flight programs from there, providing new aircraft, aircraft parts, training of the pilots and mechanics that are getting ready to go overseas, retraining pilots that come back for recurrent training. And they do fundraising for the different programs they have there. And so we're excited to be part of that. And so we kind of look at it as before we were able to be part of one country outreach, and now we can be involved in four countries of outreach. And so that's kind of a wider view of what we can be affect, and that you as a church have an effect that way as well. So I have some pictures here that I'd like to go through, and it gives you better, I'll kind of move out of the way here, gives a better idea of where we live and what we do, and then I'll wrap it up at the end here. But our mission statement is to be able to advance the gospel, spread of the gospel through aviation, and to see a thriving church for every people group. And that's what we aim to do. We don't want to distract from the work in any way. Some of the fundraising that's done through our mission is to supplement flight costs for our missionaries, and especially for national missionaries, so that they can fly for hardly anything, and it doesn't hinder their outreach to the various tribes there as well for the cost. Oop, that turned on. It's booting up. It might be, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to aim it, at that or that back there. Yeah, it is on here. I'll try reboot. Works for IBM anyways. There, oh, now I got too many. Okay, here we go. All right, so this is our base down in our training center down in southeast Arizona. This is during rainy season picture. I had a picture during dry season that I showed at some churches over in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and afterwards the gal said, why did you put a black and white picture up of your training center? I said, well, that wasn't black and white, that was color. But that so in the dry season, it's just all brown there. So, but we have our hangars that we work in, and then up the top right, there's our housing for staff and our trainees. We were able to get a house just off the center, so we have our own place, but it's nice to have everybody there, and we can do things together. And so some of my jobs there, I'm our McNeil Aviation Operations Manager. I tell people I go around keeping the plates spinning, and make sure everything's going smoothly and our equipment's running and everything, so that our trainees and mechanics there can keep things working in the hangar, and we have parts and things coming in that we need. I also help maintain our training aircraft, and that helps me to keep current in my mechanics skills as well, and keeps our and me and our other director of maintenance there, Larry and I, we do all the inspections, and we have our students, trainees help us and help train them as well. We have upgraded our fixed-wing aircraft. Cessna 206 had just all the old steam gauges, we call them, and so we went through and upgraded that to a digital flat panel displays, so it's more like the aircraft that we're actually using on the field, the Quest Kodiaqs, and helps make their transition to those bigger aircraft much easier. Also, every January, February, we have new prospective pilots and mechanics come through, and I'm part of the team that helps do an evaluation with them and evaluate their technical skills, and we also, our leadership meets with them, and it's kind of a two-way evaluation. Are we the kind of mission that they would like to serve with, and they go over all the things that we believe and how we operate, and so they have a clear picture of what we are, and so it evaluates both ways, and we just really thankful for the quality of pilots and mechanics that the Lord has sent our way. And we just recently received three new trainee families, and one guy's a single guy, but then two other families, and so every August we get our new trainees, and they train till next May, and by that time they've done all the flight and the mechanics training that they need, and they're ready to be sent out. So they come to us with their commercial pilot's license and instrument ratings, and also their aircraft mechanics license, and usually 1 or 2 years experience. And so we just take them from there and show them how we like to do things. We call it standardization, so that we're all on the same page and just make sure that everybody's ready for what they're coming up against. And so when they arrive as trainees, one of my main jobs is also to be an aircraft maintenance instructor, so teaching the guys how to do different systems on the aircraft, just make sure they're comfortable with the tools we have, especially with the helicopters. There's a lot of things that spin around at high RPM, and we have to balance them. So, and if anything gets out of balance, you really get to shaking. So to make those aircraft last long, we do a lot of balancing as well and that kind of stuff. So just make sure that they know exactly what they need to do to operate on the field. And occasionally our dog Mia comes down to make sure I'm not goofing around in the office there. And so Chris's job's, she's the head receptionist, and she organizes things there at the desk, and the gal next to her, Kay, is one of her coworkers there as a receptionist. They alternate during the week, depending on what other things are going on, and kind of keep things running smoothly up front. She also organizes the child care. The guys are in the hangar all day, either flying or working on the aircraft, and twice a week the wives have classes that they do. And so during the wives' class, the kids are in child care with Chris and a couple other gals there that help take care of the kids during that time. And so Chris gets to know quite a few little kiddos. And so here's 8 pairs of feet. 4 pairs of those on the left are in an Indonesian, or going to Indonesia with their parents as missionaries. And the 4 on the right, who now have a 5th pair in their family, are in the Philippines as missionary kids. One of the other jobs we have, and it's more like a privilege for us, is to be on the mentoring team. So the new families come through. This is Lance and Caitlin Rensberger and their 2 kids. This last year we were privileged to be their mentors, and we go through discipleship type studies with them in the scripture, and it's been a real joy to get to know them. And they're headed for the Lord willing, for the Philippines. Lance has some health issues that they're working through to see if they're manageable there in the Philippines. If not, they would become staff with us down in Arizona to help in the maintenance in the hangar. He's a maintenance specialist. So we also get to do some one-on-one discipleship out on the lake with fishing, and and that's always a fun time. This next year, this is our new one of our new trainee families. These will be the family that we're privileged to mentor this year, Adam and Anna, and they're now 4 boys. She just had a boy. And so we're looking forward to getting to know them. Adam's a maintenance specialist as well, and so we'll get to spend all day with him in the shop. Another thing Chris and I get to do is go to different go to the air show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, on the team that represents Ethno 360 Aviation. It's a week-long air show, and just hundreds of people coming through our little tent. There's several other missionary aviation agencies there as well, and we get to answer questions about why we use airplanes overseas and how they're used, and just be able to share what God's doing overseas. In some of the advanced training, they need, they call it self-loading baggage or ballast, and so we get to be part of some of the training exercises the pilots do, and they'll load up with four or five of us, and they'll fly up to the little mountains near our training center, and they'll drop us off in different places, and then they'll come back and pick us up, just like they're dropping off, you know, translators or language consultants and that kind of thing. And so they learn to land into different areas and picking up different cargo. In a helicopter is very sensitive to where people sit and how when you lift off it does different things. And so it's part of their advanced training, as well as simulating a medical emergency. And then they had to come in and airlift Chris out. This is Chris here on a makeshift stretcher. And so just scenarios like that we get to help out with. It's a lot of fun to ride in the helicopters for that. So the other part of the training we do there is the pilot training. I'm not one of the flight instructors, but I just help maintain the helicopter that they fly. But the two men standing up, Darren Spence on the left and Brian Pruitt on the right, are our chief flight instructors. And the two kneeling down, Bruno and Ryan, are their latest guys who finished the program there. Bruno and his family are from Brazil, and they're back in Brazil now. And Ryan and his family are headed for the Philippines there, Lord willing. So some of the training that they do, learning how to secure and carry oddball loads like this pipe. You don't want anything to get loose in the helicopter and go back to the little tail rotor. It tends to ruin the whole day when that happens. So they learn how to strap things down really good and to be able to fly that way and feel what it feels like with weird things sticking out, or with a heavy load. This is a 700-pound load of wood that they carry on the bottom of that strap, and they learn how to fly with that and feel what it does to the helicopter as it pendulums around underneath there. We're also blessed through donors to get a simulator for our Kodiak, which is our fixed-wing aircraft that we operate in Papua New Guinea and Indonesia. And normally the training for this kind of flight simulation training, they go somewhere else, and it's very expensive. So now we're able to do it in-house, and it only costs like $10 an hour to operate this thing. And so it's saved our guys a lot of money, and they can put a lot of time in there learning all the, as someone said, learning the knobology of where all the buttons are and levers and when to push and pull and that kind of stuff. So it's more automatic when they get into the actual aircraft. Every year, for the last 2 years, and we hope to continue on, we overhaul one of our helicopter. So this one happened to be our training helicopter, and so we tear it all apart. Every 2,000 hours, these helicopters have to be overhauled. They're Robinson R66 turbine helicopters, and so you order a kit from Robinson, and then you tear the helicopter apart, inspect it, and replace everything that needs to be replaced. Pull the engine out, it gets an inspection. We have to send that to a overhaul facility. And the tail boom and everything comes apart. And while it's apart, since it was gold, it's not our mission color, so we painted it white with our red mission design on it. And got all put back together, balanced everything with the guys there. And that went back into service as our trainer. And then for our field in Papua New Guinea, now we've been working on raising money to replace we have an old Bell 206 helicopter there that's very expensive to maintain and breaks down a lot, as it's over 40 years old, I believe. And so this was the first of three Robinson helicopters that we've ordered. And that one came, and we went right to the paint hanger with it, put our red stripes on it. They painted it white at Robinson, and so we put our colors on it and then started tearing it apart so we could put it in a container to ship it. So the tail boom and the main rotor blades and everything comes off. Everything gets thrown in a crate. And then we start loading all the equipment and helicopter parts into the 40-foot container. And when it's... And then so I think in another couple weeks, a truck will come and pick that up, take it to L.A. And then it used to be 6 weeks. Now with everything in the back backed up, if you're involved in shipping at all, now it's probably going to be about 6 months or so for that to make it to Papua New Guinea. And so we wanted to get it shipped as soon as we could so that that time could start counting down for the guys there. And so recently, this guy on the right here, Tim Hughes, he's our international director of operations, but he also is wearing two hats. He's a director of international director of maintenance. And so he's looking to retire soon. And so they've asked me to take on the international director of maintenance part of his job. And so over the next year, it'll be kind of a slow transition into that. But just, it'd be instead of just working with our local stuff going on there in McNeil, I'll help kind of manage our four different fields as far as maintenance goes and just make sure things are done at the top quality level that Tim has kept it as well. And so we're slowly transitioning into that and haven't done a whole lot with that yet. But all right, so just share a couple more things here. While the airplanes and helicopters and pilots, mechanics, and all these support people, because there still are literally millions of people who haven't heard the gospel yet. There's a lot of people still living in these hard-to-reach, unreached people groups. And I've brought this before. Some of you may recognize it, but this is my this Bible represents what those people have as far as a Bible, and it's all blank pages. And so we're part of the team that is helping to fill these empty Bibles up with their language, and so that they can hear about God's love for them and what Christ did for them on the cross. And so as I explained through the teams that we put in there, and I'm really thankful again for y'all here at the church that have been part of this ministry and still support us through your prayers and your financial support. And just you guys, I just want you to know that you are part of this team that is reaching these people that haven't heard. And it's encouraging to yesterday hearing different ministries that you guys are doing here at the church as well. And it just reminded me of the beginning of Acts, where Christ is talking to his disciples there before he's taken up into heaven, and specifically in Acts 1:8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I'm just thankful that you know, we can be, as finite as we are, God still uses us in his plan. Just want to, you know, even though our world around us now seems to be going from, you know, bad to worse, we're still seeing God do some amazing things overseas, and the fields are still white under the harvest, and people are crying out all over the world for an answer to their lostness. And but we need more laborers to continue to reach them. And so I just ask you to pray for more laborers. It was encouraging yesterday at SMAT to see a lot of the new missionary, hopeful missionary pilots, mechanics there in their training. And but there's many different ways you can get involved in reaching the lost as well. And maybe he's calling you somehow to get involved in mission work. And so to be part of this team of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to these people who've never heard before. And so God can use you in some way. He gives us all of us different skills, you know, and calls us from all different walks of life. I know Chris says, you know, she grew up in a small church there in Oregon and never thought about being a missionary, let alone going to Africa. And so when God brought us together, he called us as a team, you know, to be part of this missionary aviation effort that's helping to spread the gospel. And so there's many ways to be involved in that. And if you have any questions about it, I'm going to have a video play here just show you some good testimonies from those who are in the Philippines there that have been affected by the missionary aviation in a positive way. And and Chris and I will be out in the foyer afterwards if you have any questions you'd like to talk to us about.